It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Studying today the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6. We're going to begin reading with verse 5 and read through verse 10. So please, that you'd open your Bibles to that book and chapter, and we'll begin reading in a minute. First of all, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And you could visit us on our website, and it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, that we may begin with the sixth chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, begin reading with verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing and fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's begin with prayer before we begin the study. Father, thank you that we can come today, and I ask, Father, that you'll show us your way, your wisdom, your will, Lord, please. It is so important, Father, that we begin to walk with you. We walk with you closer each day. But it isn't something, Father, that just begins and evolves. It must begin with us coming by faith to you, confessing our sin because your sweet Spirit has convicted our hearts, and we have realized that we're a sinner, that we're lost, that we need a Savior, and then you introduce us at the same time to your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that, and I ask and hope, Father, that the folks that listen very carefully today, and they won't miss that, that they won't just think that we just continue to learn your Word, Father, and that makes us a Christian. It doesn't. What makes us a Christian is to come by faith to you, confessing our sin, asking you to come into our heart and saving us. Please, Lord, that you will direct every person that's listening to do that today. And then we begin to walk and to study your Word and to enjoy it, because we begin to know and understand you, and it allows us to walk closer to you. But we must come by faith to you to know you first before we can begin this relationship. So, Father, please help all to understand that, and your Spirit is the only one that can be the teacher. Father, please, guide and lead us as we study your Word today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we look at these verses of Scripture, and it's a sad time upon the earth. God created man that they would bring honor and glory unto him, as was for God's pleasure, and yet we find now that they have turned and went their own way. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, as we look at this sad statement, to think that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the condition of man upon the earth. And we have spent quite a bit of time this last couple of times we've been together concerning the condition. And, you know, when we started back up in the other verses of Scripture, that the sons of God saw the daughters of man, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And it just started, and as we even went back, that was verse 2 of chapter 6, and go back to verse 1 of chapter 6, and it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. You know, as the man began to multiply, sadly to say, the power and the strength of God in man did not multiply. Wickedness multiplied. And as we find that men begin to take positions of authority, men that are bad, that are wicked men, then it's not long that that wickedness just multiplies so fast. And that's what we talked about last time. And, you know, when bad men are honored, and we have today so many people, whether they hold a political office or they're a sports celebrity of some sort, whatever it might be, people today look to those, they honor them, they praise them, they almost bow down to them because of some ability they have or something that they see in them. But their lifestyle is so, so wicked. Their teaching is wicked, and yet man seems to pay little attention to that. They're just impressed by something they do, and so they just grasp to that. Well, if that wickedness is allowed to be one that is held in honor or is placed in a position of power, it's not long that wickedness multiplies, and we've seen that. We've seen that in our government. We've seen that in every level of politics, from the bottom to the top. We've seen that in the church. We've seen that in the sports heroes. You can see that today. What is acceptable today, they would have been thrown out on our ear just a few years ago. The reason is because when bad men are bad, and that's a statement, that's a solid statement. When bad men are bad, and they are. But when bad men are honored and put into places of power, the wickedness will continue to multiply at a much faster rate. Satan's wickedness of man was great. You know, as we looked at Satan's desire to pervert man, knowing that that wickedness would move so quickly and multiply so fast, and it's become very great in this day, as it did back here in Genesis chapter 6. And as we continue now to look at Genesis chapter 6, once again the fifth verse, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. This expresses his just and his holy displeasure against sin and the sinner. Now, I want you to see that, and I have written those words down, so I said them and spoke them clearly. In the sixth verse, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. This expresses his just and his holy displeasure against sin and sinners. Now, let's look, because we have the word repented and the word grieved. And I would like to look through Amos, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Psalms concerning it has pressed. The word pressed, we're going to look up here in Amos, concerning what has happened to man in relationship to God. Isaiah is wearied, Ezekiel is broken, and Psalms is grieved. Now, let's begin with Amos chapter 2, verse 13. Now, this may take you a little bit of time to find. If you can find Ezekiel or Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and then you go on to Obadiah, and Jonah, Micah, Nahum. And so if you find those, why, that'll help you maybe to find the book of Amos. Amos chapter 2, and we're going to read the 13th verse. It says, "Behold, I am pressed under you, as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. I am pressed under you." You know, that load, that pressure is a burden. And that's what's happening here, sin upon man, and then in man and to man, and this continually becomes a pressure unto the Lord. Now, let's look at Isaiah, and I think you'll see what I'm trying to bring out here. If we'll look at Isaiah 43, Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to go to verse 24, Isaiah 43:24. And it says, "Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. Wearied me. You have made me to serve with thy sins. Oh, the sad condition of man. The sad condition. We have not only made it as a almost a burden, a heavy load that's upon a wagon or a vehicle. It's so heavy that it loads them down, and that's what's happening, because when that load is there, we don't have the freedom, the ability to move into the place where we need to because of this burden of the load. And now it speaks here in Isaiah, and that was in Amos. Now in Isaiah, thou hast wearied me with thine iniquity. So it speaks of what man has done unto the Lord. He has not only pressed the Lord down as if it's a heavy load or burden. Now we find it wearies him. And let's look to Ezekiel. And you'll find Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 6. We look to Ezekiel chapter 6. And we're going to look at the 9th verse. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And it says, I am broken. So we have him pressed as a carrying a great load, the pressure, wearied because of thine iniquity, and now broken with their whorish hearts, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes which go whoring after their idols. Oh, and look at our lives today, how that everything is so much more important than the service of God and the house of God. Everything takes priority. Psalms. Go back now towards the front of your Bible from even Isaiah, and you'll find the book of Psalms. Psalms 95. We're going to Psalms 95, verse 10. It says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I was grieved. Now look at that, as we've looked up those cross-references. I hope that this helps you to understand the 6th verse of chapter 6 of Genesis, when, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And we have in Amos that it pressed upon him as a heavy load. In Isaiah, it wearied him of the iniquity. In Ezekiel, he was broken. And in Psalms, he was grieved because of this continual sin and rejection. Now, all this is things that have come upon God because of the wickedness of man. God has been wronged by man. Once again, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God has been wronged by man. God has turned from showing kindness. As in Ezekiel, Israel has abused God's mercy till there is no mercy left. God hates sin. Has our sin pressed, wearied, broken, and grieved our God? Has our sin... God hates sin. So should we. This should humble us, should grieve us. We should mourn over our sin, not delight in it. Zechariah 12, if you'll look there with me. Zechariah 12. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So if you find Matthew, come back to Malachi and then on back towards Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. Zechariah 12. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for me as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness of him as one that is in bitterness of his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as in the mourning of Hadadrimum in the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shemaiah apart. As we look through these verses of Scripture, that the concern of what's happening here. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, verse 11 tells us. I will pour upon the house of David the habitation. What's taking place here? As this is a beautiful picture, whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for the only son. Who do you believe they're talking about there? We love enjoying the prophecies is coming here. Please, that you look at this precious word, study this precious word. Understand that we should mourn and grieve over our sin and over our sorrow. Please, this does not imply, as we look here at this word repent, as if God is changing his mind. He has one mind. God created man, and it was very good. Now they are not. Man changed, not God. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Destroy man. To destroy means to wipe off man from the earth as dirt, as filth. Wipe it off from the face, or from the place that should be clean. To wipe it off. Look what's taking place here. Look what's happening here. Isn't it so sad that because of the evilness and the wickedness of man, that God is going to destroy man and literally wipe man off from the face of the earth as dirt, as filth, wipe it from the place to where it will be made clean. I will blot out man from the earth. Beasts and creeping things and the fowl of the air that come along, all that, as we have just read, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It repenteth me that I have made them. Man changed, so God in his righteousness has no choice but to destroy man, because man is so wicked. Now, how close to that wickedness are we today? I don't know. But God will do the same. Now, he said, I will never destroy you with a flood, and we know that. But we do know later in this precious book that some cities, some isolated areas, became so wicked that God chose to destroy them. And we haven't even found them yet. But there is history and records that they existed. God destroyed them because of their wickedness. He could do that today to any city in this land, any city or country in this world. He could do the same thing to. If the wickedness gets to such a level, I can't imagine how wicked it was prior to the flood. I mean, prior to this time, I can't imagine what has taken place and how wicked it has become that God would have to destroy all except for Noah and his family, and that's all that's left. The curse is under even the beasts, of course, and everything, and so it was destroyed. It was all destroyed because of man. That's why it was destroyed. Not because the animals got wicked, it was because man, in his ability to choose, has chosen against God, and everything has been found to be wicked. Now, as we look at the 8th verse, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God looked upon every man out of all the population, and he only finds one man. Look what the word says. The Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The 9th verse, these are generations of Noah. Noah was a just and a perfect in his generation. Was just and perfect. You know, God looked across there. Did he find Noah? Oh, he was living right. He was acting right. You know, I'm sure he's going to go to heaven. And so I'll pluck him out and pick him up. You know what made Noah righteous? What made Noah righteous was a decision to come by faith to Jesus Christ, a Messiah, a Savior that was some 20, almost 2,500 years away from coming. And yet the promise was given us back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It was clearly given what was going to happen. He had the example from the skins that was put on Adam and Eve, and he trusted in that, as Enoch trusted in that clearly. Noah was the same. Noah looked upon this, and Noah trusted in the knowledge that God would save him. I've come by faith to the Lord. You, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm condemned. I'm unclean. I need you as my Savior. And he looked down through time to almost 2,400 years later when Jesus hung on the cross and died. And that death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, his precious blood, brought righteousness unto Noah. Could have brought righteousness to every man that lived at that time, and can bring righteousness to every man that lives today, if you'll come by faith. But only one and his family, Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's wife and their wives, the sons' wives, is all that was allowed to enter, all that came into the ark, all that trusted by faith and came in. More would have been allowed if they would have come. But they had to come by faith. You know, the world was condemned by God. The world condemned Noah, I'm sure, because he's the only one that God favored. And why did the world condemn Noah? Because he was a preacher of the truth. Now today, we find many times that those that preach the truth, they are shunned. That the churches of those that preach the truth are not full today, because people do not want to hear the truth. Now, many churches are filled and building programs are going on because they have left the truth, and the people's ears are getting tickled, and they love the jokes and they love the stories, and so they come, and yet they don't preach the truth. And here we find that the only way you can come by faith to Jesus Christ is to trust in him, come to the cross of Calvary, and be saved. Now, I hope today that you have done that. Noah did that. And isn't it something how the only one left at the time of the flood that had done that was Noah? Everybody else was gone. Everybody else had died that had come by faith to Jesus Christ. And we are so early into the time. We, you know, time here has the world to this day is only 6,000 years old. And so we're looking at about 1,500 years. In the time period of 1,500 years, things had gotten so wicked that God had to destroy man. Because if he hadn't, if they'd have destroyed themselves, Noah would have died, and there would have been no remnant, no preacher. And there has never been a time ever in the existence of this world that there has not been a remnant, a teacher, a preacher of the truth. And there has never been a time in the existence of this world that people have, as a whole, as a population, loved the preacher that brings the truth. They have never liked him, and they never will, because this world is such an ungodly world. And here we have an example of the ultimate of ungodliness. God has to destroy all And here we find this one man, Noah, begat three sons. Noah was a just man. Noah was perfect. Not because he just lived a good life and God says, there's one. I kind of like the way he looks. Don't look that way at all, my friend. Because the only reason that Noah was just, the only way that he was perfect, is because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus today. God's favor. He looked upon Noah with favor, with love, with grace, with comfort. Let us find grace in the sight of the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. We'll go back to into the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We labor. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. But wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ today, that you come by faith and trust in him. Because if you will do that, then you become a child of God. You truly become a Christian. And a Christian is one that is Christ-like. And from that time on, whether you're 50, 10, 100 years old, whatever, when the Spirit of God convicts your heart, and we're proclaiming the Word today, and by the proclaiming of the Word of God, it works, that allows the Spirit of God to work in your heart. Please today come and trust in him. Oh, Noah was a good man. Noah was a just man. That man, the man that is just, he is justified by faith and faith alone. He is justified and he is allowed to come by grace. That's the only reason you and I can come to the Lord Jesus, is by God's grace. God's opening the door that we may come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Look at that. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's exactly what you will be today, and only by the grace of God. And please, that you will trust in the Lord Jesus today and come. You're justified by grace, and you can come by faith. Now let's look to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What did we just talk about? How was Noah picked? How was he the chosen one to be able to survive this terrible time? It was only because he surrendered and come by faith. He did not belong to a certain church. He didn't serve as a deacon of the church for so many years. It was only one reason and one reason only, and that was because he came by faith to Jesus Christ. He is saved. Please, that you come by faith today. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't wait. Don't think your church membership or your baptism or anything else is going to save you. There's judgment coming, as has come at this time. Please, that you prepare your heart. We have looked at the scripture verses today in wonderful time, as we've looked these scripture verses up to Amos chapter 2, verse 13, Isaiah 43:24, Ezekiel 6, verse 9, Psalms 95:10. Zechariah 12, verses 10 and 11. And then we come and we went to 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 1 Corinthians 15, 10, and Hebrews 11, 7. All those wonderful verses of Scripture to help us understand. Now, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?